5. Over the last 8 months, 50% of our sermons revolved around love. God loving us. We loving our neighbor. And we were actually 2 weeks ago speaking to Tanya Amanda, and she just made me aware of the fact that, why does God repeat himself? Because it doesn't manifest in our lives. It's not evident. If you just look around the people that's sitting in church with you right now, how many of the people do you know by name? How many people did you actually go and visit at their houses? How many people are you actually praying for? Do you know what's actually happening in their lives? They are struggling with this. They are struggling with that. How many people in church do you actually not just know on a first name basis, but actually know what's going on in their lives? Know where they are with Jesus? Because that, as a family, as brothers and sisters, you know, we are responsible for our brothers. We are responsible for our sisters. We're responsible even for our brothers and our sisters. And if love truly is in our hearts, if love truly flows from us, that will be a life. That will not be a job description. That will not just be something that we're forced to do. That will be who we are. That will be what is happening in our lives. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 13, which is probably one of my favorite verses. But I want us all to, can we all just close our eyes? This is not romantic love. 1 Corinthians 13, I know everybody reads it at weddings, but it's not romantic love. It is biblical love. So can we all close our eyes? I want to read for us. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but I had not love, I've become a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all that I have to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. Father, we want to thank you for your word, Father. Father, my prayer for this morning is, Father, that you come and make your love alive in our lives. Father, that we will not, Father, look and act and think like the world, Father, but that love will govern us as a church, Father. Father, your word says, Father, that you are love. That is part of who you are, Father. And if we are yours, Father, that will become a part of who we are. So I pray that this morning, Father, you'll come and give us a revelation of your love. That we will walk out of here, Father, with your love in us, Father, and literally, Father, go and ignite, go and infect the world, Father, with your love, in Jesus' name. Do yourself a favor and go and read this verse at home again. But everywhere there is love, put in Jesus. Jesus never fails. Love never fails, because that is who God is. 1 John 4 verse 16 says, the worship was just too much for my voice now. And we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Do you know what does the word abide mean? It means to be in. It means to be a part of. God's love needs to be a part of us. And if we are a part of God, love will be a part of us. But also the opposite is true. If we're not a part of God, then there would be no love. Or the opposite. If we're not If we don't have God's love in us, then God is not a part of us. This is one of the proofs, one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. The proof that God is in us, the proof that the Holy Spirit is in us, love will be the proof. Love will be part of the fruit. And sometimes it's easy to love some of the people in church. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we might sit here and think, but I don't even know if I love that person, you know, or if I like that person. What, you know, doesn't even matter about love. I still just want to get to the part where I just like the person. And if we struggle that way with people that's in church with us, people that have the same beliefs, the same goals, the same direction, how can we love somebody that is sitting on the street? How can we love somebody that smells bad or comes from a different culture or have a different identity? Our identity is Jesus. How can we love somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus? A Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist. We are called to love our neighbor. As we heard Jock shared with the offering. Who is our neighbor? Anybody that's close to us. Anybody that we can have an impact with or touch or have an impact to. Sometimes we as Christians, we like to judge. You know, we look at somebody in church, somebody that's a member of the congregation, we see, man, just look at the way that he treats his kids. Or, you know, he hasn't washed his car in a couple of months. He's not a good steward. Or, you know, the way that he treats his wife. Well, I don't think that guy tithes. Seriously, he didn't throw anything into the offering basket. You know, we're very quick to judge. In Mark 10, we read a story of a rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asks him, you know, read the law. Don't kill, don't steal, don't murder, don't, you know, commit adultery. Honor your father and your mother. And he says, but all of those things I've done since I was a child. Verse 21. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give that to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus doesn't correct him. Jesus first loves him, then he corrects him. Correction without love is pointless. If we don't love somebody, if we don't have a relationship with somebody, we've got no business of correcting them. You know, we cannot judge the world, but we have to judge one another. We have to iron sharpen iron, correct one another. But we can only do that if we love one another. Because if correction is not done in love, it's pointless. But let's look at biblical love. I just want to discuss seven. There's many more that you'll find in the Bible, but I just got seven here that I would like to speak about. Firstly, love is giving. Giving of yourself, because that's the example that we've got from Christ. Love is forgiving. You know, I spoke about forgiveness a while back, and the biblical definition of forgiveness is canceling debt. You hurt me, so I've got something against you, and forgiveness is canceling that debt. I've got nothing against you anymore. Love is humble. To be the least, to be the servant, to serve one another. Just something practical that I've made up in my mind. If somebody comes to visit me, I make coffee. Because I want to show people that I serve them. That is something really small, but that is how we begin. To chat the conversations by making just somebody coffee, just serving them with coffee. Anyway, next one. Love is not a respecter of persons. We'll get to that, but it just basically means that I don't put somebody who dresses smart above somebody that don't dress smart. I put somebody that had a bath last night and somebody that didn't have a bath in a week. I treat them the same. I do not respect persons. God has sent his son for all men. Well, if you're in Stanton, whether you've taken a shower last night or not, you still smell the same. But love is demonstrative. It's not a feeling. It is a verb, a werkwoord. Is a verb right? Verb, werkwoord. Yeah, it's an action. Love is tough. It's not about being the nice guy all the time. Sometimes we say no. Sometimes we say, get in line. But that's also love. And then number 7, love is from God. The source of love, the one who made love, the one who created love, is God. So let's start with number 1. Love is given. We all know John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the example that we get. That is the place that we come from. When we think of love, we think of giving. God gave, and he just didn't just give anything. He gave his best. He gave his only Son. 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Well, simply it doesn't. If you've got the capacity to look at a brother, see the brother's need. I had the example a couple of weeks ago when JP and somebody else was standing here. If you've got 2 biscuits, 2 cookies, and the person next to you don't have a cookie, and you see he wants a cookie, and you don't share that cookie, you know, how can love be in your heart? Just imagine how God looks at us. He sees people that is living in utter poverty, or people that is living in utter brokenness. It's not just a financial thing. And he sees us who have received healing. But we decide, man, I don't have enough time to go and speak to this person. Or, you know, I've got enough, but this guy doesn't have. He's actually hungry, but I'd rather just keep, you know, my food for myself. How does the love of God abide in him? Love is something that we have to live out. There has to be an interaction. And as I said, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, you know, whether you've received the gift of healing to pray for the sick and they heal. But, you know, I've done it last week, so I don't need to do it this week. Love is giving. Giving of yourself. Giving your time. Giving your energy. Kan ek asseblief 'n amen kry? Somebody agree with me? Love is forgiving. Revelation 1 verse 5. Speaking about Jesus. Jesus who loved us and washed our sins away with his blood. Forgiveness cost Jesus. He knew what it would take to forgive us. But he was willing to pay that price. Yeah, even if you read the verse not up there, Luke 23 verse 34. Jesus is on the cross. The third last thing that he said while he was on the cross, according to Luke, is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He's hanging on the cross. People put nails through his hands, through his feet, and just to be able to breathe, he has to pull himself on these nails just to get up to. And what is his concern? His concern is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That is the kind of forgiveness that God shows to us as an example. And I'm sorry to say, but we still carry around, but that person didn't, you know, greet me on Sunday. This sermon is all about growing up. Growing up in love so that we can be effective. Because if this is not like our cornerstone, if this is not our foundation, we cannot be effective. We cannot. We are called to turn the city on its head. Amen? We are the city hope, the hope for the city. There's such brokenness, there's such chaos, disaster in this town. As we had the word on New Year's Eve, you know, this city looks like a scrapyard. There's just brokenness wherever you look. And we are the hope. We are the guys that need to go in there and bring order where there's chaos. But we need to get this right. Because as we read in 1 Corinthians, you know, we can have the greatest gift. We can prophesy. We can, you know, speak in tongues. We can have knowledge. But if the foundation of that is not love, then it means nothing. Then we are nothing. You know, 1 Corinthians speaks about, you know, I can give my body up to be burned. Now, we don't quite understand what that means, but this was a reality. Christians were persecuted. They were covered in clay and they were put in the, what's the amphitheater in Rome? The big stadium in Rome, Colosseum. And they were actually lit up. The clay was filled with paraffin or something flammable, and they were lit up as lanterns. And you know how you got out of that situation? By saying, I'm not a Christian anymore, by denying Christ. This speaks about somebody who's willing to give his life for Christ, who's willing to confess that I serve Jesus, and then knowing that he will be lit up. Giving your body up to be burned. But even that, if you don't have love, it means nothing. Love is our foundation. The cross happened because of love. Which brings me to my next point, which is humble. To be humble. Jesus Christ humbled himself to the point of death. Jesus Christ humbled himself, gave himself, served us to the point of death on the cross. In John 13, verse 13, we read how Jesus comes in and just before the cross, he humbles himself before his disciples. He washes their feet, all 12 of them. And you know, that is John 13, verse 13. John 13, verse 18, just a little bit further, we read how Jesus points out the one that's going to betray him. That means he also washed, Jesus also washed Judas Iscariot's feet. He knew this guy's going to betray me, this guy's going to be the cause of me ending up on the cross, but I still humbled myself and washed his feet. And this was not modern day feet. Modern day feet is clean. These guys wore sandals. They walked in streets when there was no plumbing around. But Jesus was willing to wash his disciples' feet. You know, when a new slave was brought into a house or you know, the new guy, that was his job to wash the feet of the people that enters into the house. Not just even a slave, the new slave, or the least of the slaves. It was literally a job that nobody wanted. But Jesus, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, he was willing to wash his disciples' feet. The same with the story of the Good Samaritan. Yes, this guy helped somebody else, but have you ever thought of, he got his hands dirty. He had to clean the guy's wounds. He had to dress this guy's wounds. Love, sometimes you get dirty. Ask any mother who ever changed a nappy, or every father. I had the privilege this morning of a really bad one, but let's leave that at there. Ephesians 5 verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. We need to get off our horses and get our hands dirty. Show love to the people around us. Show love And that will give you an open door to come and testify, to come and share the hope that you have. Because people see that you're not just a talker, but you're actually somebody who's willing to get your hands dirty. The next one. Not a respecter of persons. You can go read the story in James 2, but I'll just give you the highlights. If we have supper, we're sitting around, we're having supper together, and a stranger comes in. Golden rings, fancy suit. And we tell him, come and sit in front. And 2 minutes later, somebody else comes in. And he doesn't smell that nice, you know, doesn't have shoes, shirt is torn. And we tell him, okay, you sit there at the back so that you don't offend the people that's actually here for, you know, Jesus. Do you know that is sin? We can read further. Well, let's start reading from verse 4. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and became judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs, speaking about having an inheritance of the kingdom which is promised to those who love him? But you have disgraced the poor man. Verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Will you tell yourself, go sit there in the corner because you don't smell nice enough, because you don't have enough money? Or why will you tell somebody rich to come sit in the front? Because you would hope, you know, that person will have some influence. You know, maybe tithe a little bit more, put a little bit more in the offering, or maybe, you know, open doors for a new venue. We cannot be respecters of people. We have to treat everybody with the same dignity and the same value. Because that's what Jesus did. He didn't die on the cross and say, okay, this is only for the sober, this is only for the pure, this is only for those who don't have sin. No, he died on the cross for everyone. And nobody deserved it. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. The disciples didn't deserve it. This is also something that tickles me, in a sense. You know, what did Jesus do after he rose from the dead? You know, when he was caught, his disciples ran away. They left him. And after he rose from the grave, he goes to his disciples and he makes them breakfast. He doesn't say, man, you let me down. No, he makes them breakfast. He loves them so much that he gives them food and says, okay, come on, guys. Let's get together. Let's regroup. Let's focus again. We're going to do this thing. Anyway. Okay. Number 5. Love is demonstrated. 1 John 3 verse 18. My little children, let us not love with word and with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Deed, action, doing something, showing love. You know, if I every morning tell my wife I love her, every afternoon tell her I love her, every evening tell her I love her, but when I get home from a meeting, I tell her to come, take off my shoes, where's my supper? Have you put the kids to bed? Put them to bed because they're making a noise. Why is my favorite TV program not on? Treat her like dirt? Do you think she will experience love? No, then there is no love. Love is something you show. As I said, love is a verb. It's a werkwoord. It's something we do. There's an action. Without action, there is no love. Love equals action. Number 6. Love is tough. If parents, godly parents, understand this thing. Sometimes when you spank your kids, it hurts you more than it hurts them. Spanking is not something that is pleasurable. You don't enjoy it. You don't get your frustration out with a wooden spoon. But you do it because you know they need to learn. They cannot play with matches. They're going to put the house alight and most probably get hurt in the situation. But when you use the pop level, when you use the wooden spoon, it helps. Wira, ears. It opens up ears. And God is the same. Sometimes there needs to be discipline. Sometimes there needs to be correction. Sometimes there needs to be a spanking. So we don't go and play with matches again. So that we stay away from the dangerous spots, the dangerous areas. You can go read Hebrews 12. But I just want to read verse 6. For who the Lord loves, he corrects. For who the Lord loves, he corrects. Sometimes when we help people, when we're there for people, we actually take the place of God. You know, psychiatrist has got this phrase, tough love. Sometimes you need to show people tough love. And that means to stand away, to separate yourself from that person. We cannot be people's safety nets all the time. Sometimes God uses us in that way, yes. But we need to be aware of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we take the place and we become their safety nets when Jesus wanted to be that. You know, the prodigal son, when he ran away, the father knew what was going to happen. But he actually allowed it. He allowed the son to go away. And the Bible speaks about the son came to himself. He had a light bulb moment, aha moment. He realized he has sinned against God. He has sinned against his father, but he needs to go back. We need to allow people sometimes that space to go away, to fall a little bit further so they can come to the point where they realize tough love. I know that this is one of my weaknesses. I like to be the good guy. But we cannot always be the good guy. Sometimes we need to tell people, we're not going to help you this month with your finances. You need to budget. Next month, come show me your budget. Then we can speak again. Sometimes we need to tell people, stop drinking. If you don't stop drinking, you cannot come to my house anymore. You cannot come to church anymore. Stop drinking. You are staying with your boyfriend. Move out. This is not part of God's plan. Move out. Sometimes we have to have tough love. But you know the amazing thing about tough love is the people who walk in tough love, those are the people that you can count on in times of difficulty. If you can trust somebody enough to be honest with you, you know, you can walk a road with that person. Number 6, God is the source of love. Galatians 2 verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Once again, I said it earlier, but the proof that God is in you, the fruit that will come out of that is love. Romans 5 verse 5. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. No Holy Spirit, no love. No love, no Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has given us a spirit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. You can go read further. I'm just quickly paraphrasing. I like knives. And I like one specific make of knives. It's called Mueller. It comes from Spain. They are really nice. I've got about 4 of them at the moment. I want to have lots more. But it doesn't matter where in the world you go, when you see a Mueller knife, you know this knife comes from Spain. Whether you find it in my house in Stanerton, it comes from Spain. Whether you find it in America, it comes from Spain. Doesn't matter where you find love, it comes from God. Whether you find it at the Aschater, the ash heaps, ash heaps, whether you find it in prison, Whether you find it in a bar, where you find love, the source is always God. But where you find good works and without love, sorry, I just have to quickly. You remember when we had worship, the amazing sound that came from the drum set? The amazing sound that came from the stage, the sound, the music we had when we worshipped. That is love. And the sound you just heard, that is no love. First Corinthians 1. Doesn't matter what we do. Doesn't matter how great we are. The Bible says if we don't have love, we are nothing. Nothing. Not even dust, not even broken. We are nothing. Love needs to be the reason. Love needs to be the battery that powers us. If there's no love, there's nothing. We need to walk in love. We need to, every day, show it to the world. John 15 verse 9. As the Father has loved me, speaking about Jesus, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself to us. The Father loved Jesus. Jesus loves us. We love everybody. The example that we've got was Jesus. Therefore, we need to live it out. Now, the interesting bit, who, how? How do we practice this? Step one, by repenting, by acknowledging sin in our lives, by acknowledging that we have apathy. You know, we can't care if somebody's hurting. We can't care if somebody's hungry. We can't. Pride. You know, I am where I am because I've worked hard and you are on the street because you don't work, so just get away from me. Fear. There's a whole bunch of reasons why we don't walk in love, but we need to acknowledge them to ourselves, ask God to forgive us, and then walk in love. Two. Ask God for a new renewed love for the lost. You know that we are all, in a sense, farmers. Why do I say that? Because pretty simple. If you're a Christian, your job is to look after sheep. To gather more sheep, keep them safe, look after them, feed them, tend them. But you will be a pretty bad farmer if you don't love your sheep. And that is the truth for us. If we don't love the lost, if we don't love the people that's not sitting here, there's no point in us sitting here. If you don't love the lost, you should go and check whether you're not lost yourself. Because that is the beginning. What is the Great Commission? Go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them. We didn't get a list of stuff that we need to do. When Jesus left this earth, he gave us the Great Commission. Go. Go and do what? Make disciples. Tell people about Jesus. And if you don't love the people that you're telling about Jesus, you are nothing. You're accomplishing nothing. If we don't have love for the lost, go and check whether you are saved yourself. This is hard words, but this is biblical truth. Number three, make a decision to act in love. Make a decision to walk in love. Make a decision to love. If you're married, love is a choice. Your work, your hobbies, your children, everything can swallow you up so quickly. You need to make a choice to fight for your marriage. You need to make a choice to love your wife, to love your husband. It's no longer just, you know, when the honeymoon is over, love becomes a choice. I've chosen Yakumin, and she's chosen me, so for the rest of our lives, Divorce is not an option. We are going to love each other. That's a choice. We need to make the choice to walk in love. And number four, we've got different gifts. We are different. Identify somebody that walks in love and go and become a bloodsucker, in a sense. Go and stick with that person. Titus 2 verse 4 speaks about how the younger woman should learn from the older woman. The younger woman should look at the older woman, see how they treat their husbands, see how they do whatever they do, and we should learn from them. And the same applies with love. Look at somebody that you know that loves and join that person. Spend time with that person. Go and drink coffee with that person. Go for walks with that person. Spend time with the person so we can learn how to love. Sometimes it's not just about... Sometimes we don't get the love, the example from home. And we need to spend time with people that get it right. So we can learn from them and get it right. Amen? Can I ask that we all stand and close our eyes? Father, I want to thank you, Father, that your word says, Father, that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Father. That we don't need to feel bad because we're not perfect yet, Father. But this is something that we can work at. This is something that we have to work at. And Father, I pray that, Father, that